I'm surprised you actually wanted it on. Anyway, we have two Sundays till Christmas. Actually, 2 weeks from this Tuesday is Christmas. And this thing we did today, we'll do a couple more times. It's the brainchild, or the heart child, I should say, of Chuck. He's been on. He actually approached me months ago with this on his heart, so that's the direction of what we'll be doing. Because it's Christmas time, right? We all know the Christmas story. So today, obviously, is Gabriel and Mary. But before I get there, I want to do a little background for you. Here's what's interesting. If you know the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and they all tell the story of Jesus. But here's what's interesting. In Matthew, if you'll remember, Matthew starts with the genealogy of Jesus, you know, the 14 generations. And then from there goes into the story where the angel talked to Joseph because he was ready to take Mary and put her away. And the angel said, no, this really is true, that she is going to be impregnated by the Holy Spirit. And then the very next chapter jumps straight into the wise men, which was 2 years later. So there's really no Christmas story in there. Then if you go into Mark, he starts with John preaching about Jesus' coming, but then jumps straight to Jesus' baptism and his temptation. So there's no story. And then you go into John, and we all know where he says the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And then from there, he goes to John again and talks about John the Baptist and how he saw Jesus. And then it goes straight into Jesus picking his disciples, all in that same chapter. So the only place we really get the meat of the Christmas story is Luke, which is where this is all from. And because of who I am, it's just like, why is that this the only place where we get the meat of the Christmas story? But I want to give you a little background, and the background starts actually with the first chapter of Luke, which is the first verse of Luke, and here we go. It says, this is Luke writing, and he says, many people have set out to write accounts about the events that have been fulfilled among us, and they use the eyewitness reports circulating among us from the early disciples. And having carefully investigated everything from the beginning, I also have decided to write an accurate account. Now, that word accurate account literally means a chronologically in order account. For you, most honorable Theophilus. Now, Theophilus was an incredible guy. He was a believer in Jesus, but he kind of vacillated, you know, kind of, he'd hang with these guys, he'd hear that, and hang with these guys, he'd hear that. And so Luke was saying, I'm writing this just basically for you, Theophilus, so that you can be certain. All right, the word is asphalia. Now, let me explain this to you. I have in my, as most of you know, I love the Greek language because it's so full of meaning as opposed to our language, which is kind of hollow a little bit. But I have some favorite Greek words, so I want you to add this one to your tool belt. You know, we all know tetelestai, which means where Jesus said it's finished. And another one that we all love is agape, which is God's love, and faith, which is the word pistis, and the gospel, the good news of the gospel, which is the Greek word euangelion. And I mean, I have a few that I just are important to me because they're so full of life. Well, add this one to your vocabulary, and the reason I say that is what's so funny. I've never seen it before. I actually watched part of a message from a guy named John Piper, if you're not familiar with him. And he brought this up, and it's only used three times in the Bible, so which I'm assuming is why I haven't grasped it. But anyway, so we'll get there. I just want you to see this. So he says, so I want you to be certain, asphalia, of the truth of everything that we were taught. So this word, let me tell you what asphalia means. It means secure. It means certain. It means firm. It means stability. This word is dynamic in that it says, I am rock solid with the understanding and belief of this thing called Jesus. All right? It's not vacillating. It's not trying to figure it out. It's being rock solid. In fact, the other two places that it's mentioned is in Acts, where it says that the prison where the guys were locked up was securely fastened. It was asphalia fastened. It was locked down, secure. Nobody's getting in that puppy. Except for when God showed up and, you know, knocked the doors open. You got it. And then the other time it's used is in 1 Thessalonians, where he's prophesying and he's saying that the people are going to proclaim that there's going to be peace and safety, but destruction is coming. He's saying people are going to be proclaiming asphalia, security, firm, solid, know exactly where you are in your heart, not vacillating, not listening to the last thing you heard, but knowing. And one of the greatest examples that actually Piper used that I'm stealing from him today, except I'm changing a little bit, he talked about the cloud of understanding, and what he used was the mountain of understanding. I've changed that to the rock, because a rock's a little bit more solid than a mountain for me. So, he talks about how we have people who have this cloud of understanding of this knowledge that we have of Jesus, but then the winds shift a little bit, and then this new cloud comes in, and we get this new cloud. And I'm telling you what Luke was doing to Theophilus, and what he's saying to all of us, because he wrote it, because we get to read it now, is we need to be rock solid in our understanding and our belief of who and what Jesus is. And what we need, that incorporates so many different areas because we get caught up in the wind of it. You know, and the accusations that fly my way because I teach and believe, and I have asphalia in what I believe, I really do. And but what's so funny is there's a bigger picture of who what God says and who He is. God absolutely, no doubt, absolutely loves us to the core, just like we love our kids. But because of our free will, we do stupid stuff. That doesn't change His love, but it doesn't change consequences. So in this asphalia that we've got to understand in all areas is yes, absolutely, from God has forgiven us. What Christ did on the cross took care of everything. Yesterday's sin, today's sin, and even the future sin, absolutely. But also what He did on the cross, what people will not grasp is He gave us the power to overcome sin. You get it? And we don't, if we can't admit that we got sin, then we can't quit that we got sin, because if we were areas where we don't understand. Anyway, I'm actually doing a big word study on the scripture in 1 John. I'll get y'all there someday with it. But where it talks about we need to confess our sins, and he's watch this. We confess our sins, and He's faithful, and He's just to forgive us our sins. So Luke was telling Theophilus, most excellent Theophilus, which is funny because Paul only called two other people most excellent, and both of them were just like King Felix, who didn't believe and told him to shut up. And he would say, well, most excellent Felix, I'm telling you the truth, you know. Anyway, so I just wanted to make that clear, and I'm sure it is. So we have this cloud of knowing, or we have this rock of knowing. And let me tell you something, man, the cloud changes with the wind, but the rock is firm and immovable. And I threw this scripture in, and this is just before I get to Gabriel and Mary, by the way, obviously. I got stuck here. This next scripture is out of Ephesians. It says, then you will no longer be immature children. We won't be tossed, kleidonizomai. You like that? Great word. Learn that. Man, if y'all will learn some Greek words, you can speak in tongues. And blown, perepho, about by every wind of new teaching, didaskalia. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies that are so clever they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love. Even when you're hated for loving, and you will be hated for loving. Growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of this body, His body, and the church. So I shared that. Let me tell you what those words mean. That kleidonizomai, it means to be tossed by the waves and mentally agitated. It's that cloud. You get it. You think you know, you got it, you know. Well, so-and-so said this and so-and-so said this. Man, lock yourself down in the Word, y'all. You're going to find so much truth. You're going to find stuff. There was a day when I would skip stuff that bugged me. I don't skip stuff that bugs me anymore. I dig it out so that I can find truth in it. I've shared before with you that the scripture where the Word says that he knows every hair on your head, dude. But then later on He says, oh, sorry, you know, but we cast demons out in Your name. We led people to the Lord in Your name. And He said, what? Sorry, I never knew you? Now, wait a minute. You know how many hairs are on my head that are losing daily? But you don't know me? So I used to, that bugged me. But let me tell you, I did some Greek study. And the word that is used for I don't know you is the same word in the scripture where the Bible says that Joseph didn't know Mary before Jesus was born. What they didn't have. So Jesus isn't saying I don't know you. He's saying, man, I didn't have intimate relationship with you. And I've used the illustration, and I'll use it again. It's like I know Emmett Smith. I know. You know Emmett Smith, and you know how I know how many yards you're 19,622 yards he ran for. And I know all this, but if I saw him tomorrow and went up to him and said, Emmett, he'd look at me and go, I don't know you. You get it. So I just now tackle those things that seem to be uncomfortable, which is, by the way, the thing that led me to that whole thing on repent, which is shouldn't be in the Bible. It's metanoia, which means change of mind, led me to that whole thing because it makes absolutely no sense that God's kindness leads me to grovel. The word says God's kindness in the English language, God's kindness leads me to repentance, which is the word metanoia. God's kindness leads me to change my mind. And when I change my mind, he said, I will transform you by the renewing of your mind, not your heart, your mind. He's got to change our thinking. And when you start allowing him to change your thinking, you're going to see how good he is. And in the midst of how good he is, there's expectations, of course, but those expectations are awesome. Because he has such deep love for us. And he basically wants to get us to the point to where we can love people like he loves them. How cool would that be? Sorry, Mary and Gabriel, I'm on my way. So, Luke was determined to give Theophilus Asphilia. Now watch this. Here's what I love. Remember, he's going in chronological order. He said, I'm going to give you an accurate account. And what he didn't tell him is about this Asphilia, I'm going to start with a cloud, and then I'm going to move you to the rock. Here's the cloud. When Herod was king of Judea, there was a Jewish priest, a leveled Jewish priest. He knows God. He's taught God. He's seen God physically, but you can hear what I'm saying. And he was a member of the priestly order of Abijah, and his wife Elizabeth was also from the priestly line of Aaron. And Zechariah and Elizabeth were righteous in God's eyes. Careful to obey all the Lord's commands and regulations. They had no children because Elizabeth was unable to conceive, and they were both very old. There you go. Been wanting babies forever, couldn't have babies. If they'd have thought back a little bit, they could have remembered Abraham and Sarah, but they didn't do that. You know, God does it back then, but why he couldn't do it now. So what a great day for a miracle, though. So here we go with the big miracle. Here it is. While Zechariah was in the sanctuary doing his duty, an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing to the right of the incense altar. Wow. And Zechariah was shaken, imagine. Zechariah was shaken and overwhelmed with fear when he saw him. But the angel said, don't be afraid, Zechariah. God has heard your prayer. Your wife Elizabeth will give you a son, and you're going to name him John. Now, what's so funny is, any children in those days were named after their dad. So that would have rattled him to the core, but I think he probably got stuck on, you're going to have a baby, because she's beyond baby years now. There ain't no, you notice nowadays, just so you notice, that there is no, there's no pregnancy stuff in Medicare. You get what I'm saying? You can't do prenatal in Medicare, all right? So you get it, they're in Medicare now. All right. So he says, and the angel, he keeps talking, he says, you will have a great joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the eyes of the Lord, and he must never touch wine or other alcoholic drinks, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before his birth. Wow. And he will turn many Israelites to the Lord. How awesome. What a great resume. Let's keep going. And he will be a man with the spirit and the power of Elijah. And he will prepare the people for the coming of the Lord. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children. And he will cause those who are rebellious to accept the wisdom of the godly. And Zechariah said to the angel, how can I be sure this is going to happen? Because I'm an old man now, and my wife's also well along in her years. And then the angel said, I think the angel got a little angry here. Gabriel did. He said, I am Gabriel. I stand in the very presence of God. It was he who sent me to bring you this good news. But now, since you didn't believe it, what I said, you will be silent and unable to speak until the child is born. for my words will certainly be fulfilled at the proper time. You don't believe it? Shut up. Man, if he did that nowadays, we'd have a whole lot of quiet folk. Wouldn't we? So you see what I'm talking about, the cloud here. All this, I mean, the angel proclaims this awesome son of his. And now let's look at Mary, because I think she was the rock. In the 6th month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, so we just heard about that pregnancy, so 6 months after Elizabeth became pregnant, and 6 months of total silence from Zachariah, she had to love that. It says, in the 6th month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the same angel, Gabriel, to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. And she was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Just so you know, back in those days, marriage was totally different. They didn't consummate the marriage for at least a year, and there was this, but they were actually married prior to the consummation for that whole time. So this is the point where this was at. So it says, to a virgin Mary, she was engaged to a man to be married named Joseph, a descendant of King David. And Gabriel appeared to her and said, greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you. Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. Don't be afraid, Mary, the angel told her, for you've found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you'll name him Jesus. And he will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end. And Mary asked the angel, but how can this happen? I'm a virgin. Did I not keep going? There it is. And the angel replied, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age, and people used to say she was barren, but she's conceived a son and is now in her 6th month. For the word of God will never fail. And Mary responded, I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. And then the angel left her. I only got a couple of points, and then y'all can go to Luby's. So the cloud, here's the cloud, Zechariah. Overwhelmed with fear, the word says. That overwhelmed with fear, literally, the word overwhelmed literally means he was gripped with fear. He was gripped with fear. But here was Rock Mary, and she was confused and disturbed. It wasn't fear, it was confusion. I promise you, if you know Jesus, there's been times in your life where you could be a little bit confused. Not only confused, but it could be disturbing that you're confused. Because the problem with God is he won't do things the way that I want him to. That's his problem. Not mine, because I know exactly how life should be. I can give you illustration after illustration of that very principle. When I've decided how he should do something, and son of a gun, he redoes it a different way, and it's better than what it was. That's why I tell people all the time, I can stand here today, December the 9th, 2018, and I can look backwards, and I cannot name one time where he's not been faithful to me. Now, I can name you tons of times I've not been faithful to him. But the point is, God is God. But she was confused. She was confused. Now, watch. To both of them, the angel Gabriel said, don't fear. But then, and then right after he did that, Gabe gave them both a resume of their sons to be. Remember? John's going to do this, he's going to do this. Man, don't let him drink because he's going to do this, he's going to do this. Now, he didn't tell him the part about he's going to eat bugs and wear hardly nothing and proclaim that. You know, he didn't say to tell him that part. That probably would have shook her up. But you hear what I'm saying? But they gave the resume, and then with Mary, that had to absolutely gobsmack her. You're telling me I'm going to be pregnant. Come on, she's going through the whole thing in her brain. The whole thing being, let's put it this way. Somebody came up to you, a little girl came up to you and said she's pregnant and God did it. You're going to believe that? No, because now we'd say, well, he already did it once. He ain't doing it again. And there's truth to that. But you hear what I'm saying? She's going to be branded a whore. She's going to be branded whatever. I guess found the worst one I could come up with. My wife probably said, you could have said something else. But that's what she's going to be branded. The whispers when she walked by, and Joseph's man card being pulled on him by all of his buddies. Oh, Joe, you believe that? Like, God did it? Ah, Joseph, you could have done better. You know. So, but here's what I want you to see. I want you to see the difference in the response. Zachariah said, how can I be sure that I'm going to have this child? And Mary said, how can this happen? Here's the difference. That cloud mentality, Zachariah explained, he actually explained to the angel. It's impossible for this to happen because of my circumstances. This can't happen because I'm too old, my wife's too old. This can't happen. It's that same thought that we get, God can't heal me because I've done A, B, and C. You know, well, I've smoked for 87 years, and God can't heal me of cancer. Really? Though the word, let me put it this way, I have asphalia that his word is true. I have asphalia that he took all that on the cross, that his flesh that was ripped from his body was because we are healed. I am convinced that for God so loved the world that he gave his son, that whoever believes, believe. Well, so then if I don't believe, then I won't be healed. Stop, man, there you go. Bring the law in real quick. So, yeah, the cloud says it was impossible for this to happen because of circumstances. So see here, the bottom line is Zechariah wanted proof. Let me tell you something. There's no proof in faith. Pistis, the word pistis is the word faith, one of my wonderful words that I've hung on to. The belief that Christ did everything totally convincingly on the cross so that not only did he wash away all our sin, but he gave us the power to overcome that sin. You can't take one without the other. Maybe I haven't been clear enough on that for folks. But the cool thing is, when you walk in him, you're too busy to sin. Does that make sense at all? When I first came to him, I didn't know what I was doing. I just was fascinated with God and that he loved me like he loved me, because I finally hung with him a little bit. And how could he love me like that, because of how ugly as I was and all that. And so for all this long time, I'm so focused on him, I didn't have time to do anything else, but I didn't know I didn't have time because I was so focused on him. Does that make sense? And God bless all you NA folks. Don't chase the chip. Chase Jesus and the chip will come. Can I say that again? Don't chase the chip. And the reason I say that, I have experience with this. I've had at least, over my lifetime, at least 25 people, whether it's AA, NA, or whatever A, sit in my office, devastated, bawling their guts out because they were one day away from getting their six-month chip and they blew it. And to every one of them, I said the same thing I just told you. Quit chasing the chip and hang with Jesus and that chip will come. The word's so clear. Blessings will overtake us. They'll overtake us, but we're running so fast trying to get to something, the blessings is running out of breath trying to catch us. So then watch this. So Mary, you know, Zach said, oh, my circumstance. So Zach wanted proof that this was going to happen. But here's what Mary simply wanted to know how, because she had never been with a man. You get this. She didn't have fear. She was confused and disturbed. How can I have a baby if I haven't been with somebody to make me a baby? So the truth is, Mary didn't want proof. Mary wanted understanding. I just want to get it. Let me tell you something. I've used that with God for a long time. Now, there's times where I have told God, when my daughter died, I just told him, I said, I don't want to understand it. I got to learn to trust you in this. Sometimes I just have to have asphalia. I know rock solid that he loves me. I know rock solid he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I know rock solid he is for me and not against me. I know rock solid. You get it? Man, I do. And it's, there's comfort in that. There's comfort in that. Because again, when somebody comes in with an opinion or something, it doesn't matter because I'm rock solid. So And if you're, I guess I'm bragging in Jesus. Because Steve Van Zandt outside of Jesus ain't rock solid in nothing. I am jello underneath fire. So, Mary simply wanted to know because she'd never been with a man. So, Zechariah, this cloud, this ever-fluctuating cloud, didn't believe and was silenced until it happened. But here Mary said, "May everything you said about me come true." Listen, do you realize what she was saying when she said that, y'all? Again, we're talking reputation. Here's a more than likely 17-ish-year-old girl who's betrothed to an awesome guy that's in the lineage of David, which had to be because that's the prophetic word, by the way, though he never touched her until after Jesus was born. Jesus was still born into the lineage of David, the Lion of Judah. It's so good. So, I need to back up just for a second, because I left some really important stuff out when I was talking about in Ephesians, where it talks about us being by the wind. I said that literally means tossed by the waves and mentally agitated. And then, could you go back to that Ephesians scripture? I'm sorry, guys. There's an important point that came to me, and I wanted to get it. Yeah. So look at this. So that word, where it says tossed, is like being tossed in the waves, mentally agitated, and then blown. The word blown, this is important. This word blown is that word perepho, and it means with hesitation and doubt, and led away by an opinion. I have had people in my life that you think they're beginning to understand and receive the rock solidness of God and His goodness and His mercy, but then they waver in that and they hear a different opinion, so they go chasing that opinion. That's what this is talking about. You just, and then that word, by the way, that word doctrine literally means, I mean, that word diakoskalia, it does mean the word doctrine, not just teaching, but it also goes into instruction with formula and with guidelines. In other words, if you will do A, B, and C, a lot of religions do this. If you do A, B, and C, then you're going to have, you know, like, what is it, the Islam religion, where you get all these virgins when you go to their heaven or whatever it is. And, you know, you've got Buddha and you've got all these other religions. But I just, again, I vacillated and I apologize for that. I just wanted to make the extreme strong point is don't believe me. Holy smoke, man. Don't just say, "Oh, well, Steve said it, and I'll believe it." Well, I love that, and I appreciate that. But if I ever say something that just tweaks your brain, go dig it out. I'm telling you, man, the Word is awesome. And I stayed away from the Word forever, because I was raised in church. Now, isn't that sickening? I stayed away from it forever because I was raised in church, because every solution to every problem I had was, "You just need to read your Bible more and pray more." Okay, so I read my Bible with no understanding. I fake prayer because I don't know how to pray. And then that, you get me. But the truth is, every problem that we have, there's truth in reading the Word and praying. But let me tell you something. When you start reading the Word with the understanding that He is for you and not against you, and that's from Genesis to Revelation, baby. He is for us and not against us. He died for us because He loves us. He is over the top crazy in love with me. I don't get it, but I try to receive it. You hear me? But once you open your eyes, the Word becomes a delight, not a drudgery. The Word becomes alive and not dead. Stop trying to read so fast and just get stuck in one verse for a second. Just for a second, get stuck in the only one you know. For God so loved the world. Because if you'll study that out, actually in the Greek language, it's for God so over the top, crazily, absolutely, stupidly loved the world. Love the world, cosmos, which literally means everybody, that He gave His only Son, so that anybody who believes in the fact that He gave His only Son to accomplish everything that He'd been trying to accomplish through all the different sets of dispensations from Adam, when Adam messed up, to Abraham, and you just can keep going down the line. Finally, God's like, "We can't do this. I got to send somebody who can." And He did, and He took care for it. All of it on the cross. For God so over the top loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes won't die, But what do you mean, man? You got a milk carton. You're in a milk carton. Some of our milk cartons are bigger than other buddies' milk cartons. Some of us have chocolate milk. Some of us are strawberry milk. You get what I'm saying? This is a carton. Our spirit man is alive. God breathed breath into mankind. That was eternal breath that he breathed in Genesis when he blew his breath into Adam. The Holy Spirit blew the breath of God into Adam, and that is an eternal spirit. Now, where that eternity spins, it depends on them. I get that, but that's eternal. That's eternal. Our bodies are eternal. We have a spirit, man. So, sorry, I really got really off point today. Merry Christmas. So I want you, here's what I love. This is the truth. This is what I love. I'm at my conclusion, and I love my conclusion more than the whole message. Because on paper, Zechariah was a mess. And you know what's really cool, though? As much as he doubted and he didn't believe, and he was probably writing cuss notes to his wife because he couldn't talk, and you know, but if you'll finish the story out, she had the baby, and when the baby came out, the angel had told Elizabeth his name is to be John. So they asked her, and again, 9 months, Zachariah's just sitting there and can't talk, and they said, well, what's the baby's name going to be? She said, John. And they're like, no, it can't be. It's got to be Zachariah, man. Come on, you name it after that. And Zachariah, he can't say anything, so he waves for a piece of paper. He gets a piece of paper, and he writes 4 words. His name is John. And the second he finished doing the N in Greek, whatever that would be, he could speak. Because I believe it was at that point that he became a rock instead of cloud, not knowing. And I think I have real proof, and this is my conclusion. This is what I love. Oh, let's find it, since I have 58 pages of notes. You know, used to, this would be one page, because I would be like an 8 font. You know, now I'm at like an 18 font. Pretty soon I'm going to have Josh over here with cue cards for me. And then, I'm trying to find the last page. I know y'all would be happy for that. It's got to be one of these 4. There it is. No, that's not. This is it. I had it the whole time in the right hand. So, here's the thing. So if you fast forward everybody's story in the Bible, we know the rest of Mary's story. She carried Jesus. She birthed Jesus. She raised Jesus. She followed Jesus all the way to the cross. She had to be torn up when her son was killed. Yet, Mary went beyond that, because Mary went after that to the upper room, and she was part of the ones that were filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So we know Mary's cool, man. Mary, way to go, Mary. See, we don't do all the stuff about how she had to been hammered her whole life about how horrible she was, and yeah, whatever. Oh yeah, isn't that Jesus kid? Isn't he the one? Wink, wink, isn't he the one? Oh, you got him doing carpentry work now. Wink, he sure doesn't look like Joseph, does he? Because he probably didn't. So whatever the Holy Spirit looked like, I'm assuming that Jesus had his characteristics. You see what I'm saying? So we know her life. How cool. But then Zechariah just does this thing. He's gone, it seems. I mean, so I'm like, okay, wait, whatever happened to Zechariah? Because again, I'm telling you, the second he started speaking again, he rocked up. He had some serious aphasia. Like, yeah, it is John. Boom, and then you know when he got his voice back, that had to be a confirmation that he had this rock. Well, let me tell you, I looked it up and see what happened, and here's a scripture that Jesus quoted in 11 of Luke that is pretty interesting. It says, as a result, he's smashing the church of the day, the leadership of the church, because they were corrupt. And as a result, this generation he's talking about, this one right here that he's talking to, will be held responsible for the murder of all of God's prophets, because it was the church leaders that killed all the prophets, by the way. All of God's prophets from the creation of the world, from the murder of Abel, which was the very first one, to the murder of Zechariah, who was killed between the altar and the sanctuary. Yes, it will certainly be charged on this generation. Now, there are people who will argue that he's talking about there was other Zechariah in the Old Testament that did get killed in a similar way. But this is a totally different God. Jesus would not have stopped 600 years earlier. He was bringing it up current, and that's what most scholars, like that matters anymore, what they believe. But here's what I love, man. So as I'm looking at that, I'm like, I wonder how he died. You know, so I'm searching out stuff. Well, there was an early church father, and this is the one, there's like two different understandings of how Zechariah died. But here's the one that I tend to believe just because as I was studying this whole thing out, this is the one I tend to believe. This early church father, Gregory of Nyssa, which I don't know if they made cars or not. That would be Nissan. Never mind. Of Nyssa, in A.D. 394, I just wrote the quote. This is greatness. Zechariah, knowing about Mary's virgin birth of Christ, refused to remove Mary from praying in the place in the temple area reserved for virgins. So when asked why he refused to remove Mary, Zechariah declared, quote, "The King of creation, according to his divine pleasure, has come through a new kind of birth." And enraged, the crowd murdered Zechariah in front of the altar of sacrifice. Ha ha. If he was still a cloud, he'd be going, man, I don't know, let's just remove her. Just get her out. Do you love that? I love that. Is that the truth? Well, that's historically true. As far as Gregory, and I didn't know Gregory. But you know what? I believe it had to be something similar. The other case was where he evidently offended King Herod, and so they killed him. But I just believe this was closure for him. I just think that's just how cool God is. So I'm saying if you're wanting that aphalia understanding, it's available to you even if you haven't ever been there. Because I'm telling you, Zechariah grabbed it and got it and understood it. So I'm done. That's my story, and I'm sticking with it.
I just want to really be clear today. The question is not, when some people come and say, well, God loves me, God loves me. That's not the question. The question is, do I love God? The question is, do I want what God wants for me, or do I want what I want for me? And while I know our focus is on Jesus, the reason that it's in the Word about what is sin and what separates us from Him is so that we don't have to be separated from Him. But the culture of today is trying to tell us that the things that are in the Word are subjective to what the group and the majority agrees with because of God's love. His Word doesn't change. His love doesn't change. So to me, aphalia, when you say that secure, firm, and stability, rock solid. If my truth keeps changing, how can I be rock solid? So today we want to know the truth. And the truth is, when He comes to you and He says to you, hey, I'm going to do something in your life that's different, you may be confused. You may doubt. But we have to have aphalia that anything He's asking me to do, I'm going to go through it, because He's going to get glory from it. And because He's going to lead people to know His unconditional love and His unconditional way to make a way of escape. But the thing that I loved in that story that I got out of that is this. Mary was already under contract. It just hadn't been consummated. I want to tell you today, if you want aphalia, if you want to be sure of this, what I got in my hand is your contract. It's your guarantee. These are going to be all your provisions. But I'm going to have to submit, and I'm going to have to consummate to what His will is, to have that place where I go in and He knows me. And He knows me. You can't walk that road for me. I'm going to have to walk it with Him. But I want to tell you something. I'm sure and I'm certain that everything that we're going through is going to lead other people to the Lord. And I'm sure and I'm certain that you're under contract. But do you want to go to the altar? Guys, let's finish what He started in us. Let's believe His word. I know, Steve, I know you want people to focus on Jesus. Don't focus on sin. But I'm telling you, sin is the thing that we cannot condone, because we must walk in perfect love with Him. And I can't say to you as my husband, hey, we're married now, so I got this contract, so I'm going to go out and do whatever I want that's contrary to what we need to do, and that not be abuse. I don't want to abuse the love that we have, but I want you to know, here's the word, so you don't walk in abuse by the world to you or you to Him. Are you with me this morning? Would you stand with me? I just want to know in this room, who wants to go from contract to consummation? You're under contract. You're covered. But do you want the relationship? And I'm so sad that social media has changed relationship to where it doesn't mean commitment. I want to tell you, relationship to me means, if we're going to be intimate, we got a commitment. And that commitment is unity. And it's marriage. And there's going to be a marriage supper of the Lamb like you wouldn't believe. Calorie-free, debt-free. Who's with me? Father, today we just received this word, God. We want the asphalia, God. I want to be sure and I want to be certain, God, because I'm believing, God, in your word that will overcome every lie, that will penetrate all darkness, God, because your word is clear. God, we're calling home right now those, oh God, who've gotten confused and lost. God, we want them to know the unconditional love. Lord, let us be honest with ourselves according to your word, the rock solid truth, so that we can know that, so that we can walk in peace and not confusion. I pray right now for every person in this room, God, that Proverbs 16:3 will come for them, God, that when we commit our ways to you, God, submitted to you, sure of you, God, our plans will succeed. We thank you, God, for victory, for those who are praying for victory right now. And we cover it with the mercy and grace of God. Mercy and grace I don't have, but you do, God. Let it be. Let it flow. Thank you for that, Jesus. We give you praise for that today. In your name we pray. And they all said, amen. Amen. Amen.